Brachos daf nun aleph. So they asked Rav Chista, if you forgot to make a bracha before you started eating, can you make a bracha once you've already started eating? He said, yeah, of course. Obviously, you shouldn't just keep eating without a bracha. So even in the middle of your eating session, you should make a bracha. Ravina said, even if you finished eating your meal, you could still make a bracha, rishona, meaning retroactively make a bracha. And he brings a braisa as a proof that the braisa says that you make a bracha upon coming out of the mikvah, which seemingly is after you've already finished in the mikvah. But he answered, that's not a good proof because by the mikvah, when you went in, you weren't fit to make the bracha because you were tameh, you were impure. And here, before you ate, you were fit to make the bracha, and you just pushed off and you didn't do it. And since you didn't say the bracha in the right place, then you can no longer say the bracha. So you can't bring a proof from the mikvah to food. So bring down a braisa that we bring up this this drink called asparagus, which was a drink made like this alcoholic type of beverage. And we said that it's good if for your heart and your eyes and your intestines. And if you drink it regularly, then it's good for your entire body. But if you get drunk from it, then it's going to be bad for your whole body. So when we said that it's good for your heart, that implies that we're talking about asparagus that's made with wine. And then we said that it's good for your intestines. So we have another braisa that says that asparagus made with wine, though, is good for your heart, eyes, and spleen, but it's bad for your head, intestines, and hemorrhoids. So obviously the fact that it's made with wine implies that it's good for your intestines. We have another braisa which says it's not good for your intestines. So how do we understand that? So we answer that asparagus made with aged wine is good for your intestines, but if you have asparagus made with non-aged wine, with fresh wine, then it's going to be bad for your intestines. And similarly, we have a Mishnah which says that someone who swore off wine for the reason that he said, I'm not going to drink wine because it's bad for your intestines, he would actually be allowed to drink aged wine, not fresh wine. So we bring in a braisa that brings down six things about asparagus. You can only drink it if it's made with undiluted. You have to drink it made with undiluted wine. The cup has to be full. You have to receive it in your right hand and drink it in your left hand. You can't speak after or interrupt, which while you're drinking. You can only give the cup back to the person who gave it to you. You have to spit after you drink, and you should eat grapes after you drink it. So now going through those six things, we have a braisa that says that you should eat bread after, not that you should eat grapes after. So we said asparagus made with wine, you eat bread afterwards. Asparagus made with beer, you drink, you eat grapes afterwards. One braisa says that it's good for your heart, eyes, and spleen, and it's bad for your head, intestines, and hemorrhoids. For hemorrhoids, another braisa says that it's good for head, intestines, and hemorrhoids, but it's bad for your heart, eyes, and spleen. So how does that make any sense? It's a contradiction. So we answered that the braisa that says it's good for your heart, eyes, and spleen is talking about asparagus made with wine. The one that says that it's good for your head, intestines, and hemorrhoids is talking about beer, asparagus made with beer. Braisa says that you should not spit after, and one braisa says that you should spit after drinking it. The one that says that you should not spit is talking about one made with wine. The one that says that you should spit is talking about one made with beer. Rashi says, so in this we see that if you drink asparagus made from beer, where you have to spit it out, then you should even spit before the king, because otherwise it's going to be dangerous. Yishmael ben Elisha says that Suriel Sar HaPanim, which is a very prominent angel, told me three things. He says that you shouldn't take your shirt from your servant in the morning, meaning you should just take it yourself. You shouldn't have someone wash your hands who hasn't washed their hands yet. And you should only give the cup of the asparagus to the person who gave it to you, because if you don't do any of these things, then demons are going to be able to harm you. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, told me three things. That you shouldn't take your shirt from your servant, that you shouldn't let someone wash your hands if they haven't washed yet, and that you should not stand in front of women who are coming back from a funeral, because otherwise I, the Malach HaMavis, can harm you. So what do you do if you do encounter a woman who's coming back from a funeral? You should jump four amos away. If you can, you should cross a river. If you can, you should cross the street. If it's possible, you should stand behind a wall. And if you can't, you should turn your face away and say, the pasuk of Vayomer Hashem HaSatan Yig'er Hashem Bicha HaSatan, that Hashem will denounce you, Satan, until the Satan, like the Malach HaMavis, until the woman leaves. Rabbi Abbahu says, brings down 10 things about the cup of wine that you use for benching. You have to wash it and rinse it. You have to start with undiluted wine and then obviously add water to it. It has to be a full cup. You have to have it crowned and covered, that you take it with both hands and you hold it only in your right hand. You raise it a tefach above ground and you have to look at it, and some add that you should give it to your wife afterwards. Rabbi Yochanan says, we only do four of those. We wash it, we rinse it, we have it undiluted, and it has to be a full cup. So Bryce explains, washing is talking about the inside, rinsing is talking about the outside. Rabbi Yochanan says that you should use a full cup. Why? So your inheritance will have no boundaries. Rabbi Yossi Berebi Chanina says, You should have a full cup, so you'll have, you'll merit both Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. When it says that you crown it, Rabbi Yehuda, his custom was to surround himself with his students. Rav Chisda would surround that cup with other cups of wine, and Rav Chanan adds that those cups were undiluted wine, and Rav Sheshes adds that that was only during the second bracha of benching that he would surround himself with the other cups of wine. In terms of covering, Rav Papa would wrap himself in a cloak, Rav Asi would put a scarf on his head. When we said that you should hold it with both hands, Rav Chanina Bar Papa says that's because the pasuk says, "Si'u yideichem kodesh uvarchu es Hashem," raise your hands and bless Hashem. We said that you should put it in your right hand. So Rabbi Yochanan said the earlier rabbis, the earlier generations, they asked if they weren't sure if the left hand could assist the right hand. You could hold it with both hands. And they didn't have an answer. So since they didn't answer it and they didn't know, so now we have to go strict and we can only do it with our right hand. We have to hold it a tevach above ground. Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina brings down the pasuk of Kosi Yishuat Asav, Shem Hashem Akra. You should raise up the cup and bless Hashem. And you, the next thing is that you should look at the cup. Why? So that you don't lose your concentration. Finally, we said that you should send it to your wife. Why? Because we want her to be able to get the, you know, blessed by drinking it. So there's a story where Ula went to Rav Nachman, and after Ula benched, he sent the cup to Rav Nachman to be able to drink from it. Rav Nachman said, oh, you should send it to my wife, Yalta, so that she'll be able to get the bracha. Ula said to Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan says that the fruits of the woman's stomach are only blessed through a husband's stomach. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Ubeirach pri bitnecha," I will bless the fruit of your stomach, and bitnecha is his stomach, not hers. So clearly, the bracha comes from the husband's stomach, not the wife's. So Ula was in effect saying, Rav Nachman, you drink it, and your wife's stomach will be blessed through you. So Rav Nachman's wife, Yalta, heard this, and she got very upset that she wasn't going to get the cup of bracha. And so she went down and she broke 400 barrels of wine. Rav Nachman told Ula, why don't you send her another cup to his wife? So Ula did that. He sent her a cup, and he tried to appease her, and he said, here, take this another cup of bracha. And she's like, yeah, your words are meaningless. It's too late. Rav Asi says that you shouldn't speak over the cup of wine until you finish benching. Rav Asi also says that you shouldn't say a benching over a second cup. So what does that mean? Rav Nachman Yitzchak explains that if you drink in pairs, which is the concept of zugos, then the demons can harm you. So you shouldn't have you shouldn't have an even amount of drinks. And in a few years when we get to Pesachim, we'll really go into that and understand zugos. Rabbi Abbahu says that if you eat while walking, then you should bench standing. If you eat standing, then you should bench sitting. If you ate reclining, then you should bench sitting up. However, we said that the halacha is that you should always bench while sitting. It doesn't matter how you ate. Hadron Allah, Shlosha She'achlu, Shkayach, on finishing the seventh parak. The first Mishnah in the eighth parak starts off that the matters of dispute between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai about the meal. Beis Shammai says, in Kiddush, you make the bracha on Shabbos, the special bracha for the day, and then you say, Bori Pri HaGafen on the wine. Beis Hillel says the opposite, you say the Bori Pri HaGafen on the wine, and then you make the special bracha for Shabbos. Beis Shammai says that you should wash your hands and then make Kiddush. Beis Hillel says you should make Kiddush and then wash your hands. Beis Shammai says, after washing your hands and you wipe them with a napkin, you should put that napkin on the table. Beis Hillel says you should put that napkin on your chair. Beis Shammai says, at the end of the meal, you should first clear the food away from the table, and then you should wash Mayim Achronim, you should wash for after the meal. Beis Hillel says, no, really, you should wash first, and then you should clear the food. So, and we'll explain all these machloks in the Gemara. If you had one cup of wine for benching and Havdalah, Beis Shammai says this is the order, where you have to encompass both Havdalah and benching over this one cup of wine. The order is Ner on the fire, Mazon, meaning for benching, Bisamim, and then Havdalah. So the order is Ner, Mazon, Bisamim, and Havdalah for the Brachos. Beis Hillel says, no, it's Ner, Bisamim, Mazon. He switches around the Bisamim and the Mazon, and then Havdalah. Beis Shammai says, Yusei Shebara Me'or Ha'esh, who created the illumination of fire. That's the bracha on the candle. Beis Hillel says, Yusei Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, who creates the illuminations of fire in the plural. You shouldn't say the bracha on the fire and besamim of non-Jews, of the fire and besamim that are set up for the dead, ones that were used for Avodah Zarah. And you can't say the bracha on the fire until you derive hana, you get benefit from that fire. If you ate and you left where you had eaten and you forgot to bench, Beis Shammai says you should go back to where you ate, and Beis Hillel says you should just bench where you remembered. And you are only allowed to bench until the food is digested. Once the food has been digested, then you cannot bench anymore. If it's during the week and wine was brought before benching, but you only had one cup, So you want to drink the wine, but you also want to use the wine for benching. So what do? Beis Shammai says you make the bracha on the wine, and seemingly you would then drink it, and then you bench. Beis Hillel says, no, you bench, and then you say the bracha on the wine, and then you drink it. And finally, we close off by saying that you're allowed to say amen to the bracha of a Jew, even if you didn't hear the entire bracha, but you have to hear the entire bracha of a Kusi if you want to be able to answer amen. So Gemara brings down the braisa regarding the first dispute. Beis Shammai says that you say the bracha on the day, the Shabbos bracha first, and then on the wine, because why? The day is what caused the wine to be brought, and also the day started before you brought the wine. So just in chronological order, it should go the day, then the wine, because the day came first. Similarly, because the day is what caused the wine to be brought. Beis Hillel says, no, you drink the bracha on the wine first, and then the special bracha for the Shabbos day. Why? Because it's the wine which causes the day to be sanctified, and also the principle of tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem, whichever is more frequent comes first, and since you drink wine and make a bracha on wine more often than you say Kiddush, the bracha on the wine should come first. And we finish off the braisa by saying the halacha is like Beis Hillel. And the reason that Beis Hillel brings two reasons to support his opinion is so that you don't think that Beis Shammai is better because he has two reasons, so Beis Hillel therefore brings two reasons. Why does the Reis have to say that the Lacha is like Beis Hillel? We know that a baskol, a voice from Shemaim, came down and said that the Lacha is always like Beis Hillel. So there are two reasons. Either this is before the baskol, so we had to say that explicitly, that the Lacha is like Beis Hillel, or this Reis is going like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that we don't take baskols into account in terms of halacha, and that's why we had to say it explicitly that the Lacha is like Beis Hillel. Shkayach.